Greetings. Welcome to another in the Cedar Mill Community Library series of interviews with local immigrants in the Beaverton area in celebration of Oregon's sesquicentennial. In this audio, I talked with Chris Gnewosz, a Canadian immigrant of Polish parents who came to Portland as a young boy. Sit back and give it a listen.
Hello, my name is Mark Richardson. I'm a librarian at the Cedar Mill Community Library, and we're here to do an interview with Chris. So Chris, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, first off, my name is Chris Gnewosz. Actually, my full name is Christopher Yusef Alexander Vladislav Maria Gnewosz, which was interesting. When I was becoming a U.S. citizen, they asked me, what do you want to change your name to? And I was going, what? Change my name? And no, I didn't want to change my name. Not to make it easier for Americans anyway.
Right.
And as an American citizen myself now, I'm very proud of that. I immigrated to the United States on December 7th, 1964. I remember that very clearly because we used to have to fill out an immigration card every year. And I never had a problem with that. For some reason, they eliminated that. Now I bet they're wishing they hadn't eliminated that. But I thought it was fair for immigrants to, or non-citizens at least, have to register with the United States. But that's no longer a requirement. I immigrated then from Canada. I was in Canada, born in Canada, because of my parents who had immigrated to Canada. They were refugees of the Second World War, having been chased away from their homes by the Bolsheviks in the Second World War. Their homes were first imperiled by the German invasion and then more seriously by the Russian invasion that followed soon after. They ended up in London, got met and married in London, had my three eldest sisters there, moved to Canada when the Queen of England gave them passage to any commonwealth of their choice. They moved to Canada, choosing Canada because of its proximity to the United States, always hoping to come to the United States. And we ended up here.
Okay. And their home country was?
Poland.
Poland, okay.
My parents were nobles of Poland, which by common American translation would be like aristocrats royalty, I suppose, in some countries. The difference of royalty in Poland versus some other countries, that in Poland, royalty or nobility was not derived from God. It wasn't a God. The Queen of England says we, because it's she and God.
Mm-hmm.
In Poland, there was never that tie directly to God.
Was it more of a tie to the land or land holdings and that sort of thing?
It was an earned title.
Earned title.
To become a noble, you had to defend Poland. And so I am the first descendant of my family in the 23 generations I'm aware of that did not fight in a war.
Oh, really?
I thank the United States for that.
You came here in 1964?
Correct.
Is that what you said? So actually to the U.S. or was that to Canada?
That was to the United States. I actually moved directly to Portland.
Okay.
My parents took a vacation every summer to a different part of the United States, trying to see where they'd want to move to. They got permission to move to the United States, my father being an engineer and my mother being a nurse. They were given preferential entry visas. And 1 year they took a vacation to the western part of the United States and chose Portland as the place they wanted to move to. Wonderful choice.
Yeah. Why do you think they picked this area?
The West Coast is very different than the East Coast. Life here is easier. The environment makes it easier. The social demands are much less severe. Economically, it used to be easier. I don't know if that's true anymore. Portland has become more demanding economically than it used to be. And then the final deciding point, because we were actually choosing between different Western cities, the final point was one of my sisters loved horses.
Oh,
and the statement was that we could have a horse in Portland, though we never did.
Oh, no. So how old were you when you came to Portland?
I was 11 years old.
Did you know English really well at that point? Or?
I was lucky. I knew English reasonably well. English was at that point my first language. I had learned Polish and French first, pretty much forgot my French. My Polish became worse. So English was my first language, though it was slightly different with the parents who, where English was not the first language, and coming from Canada, there were slight differences. So as a teenager, I was teased about my language, and that teasing quickly got me to evolve my language to where I wasn't identified as a foreigner.
So where did you go to school out here?
I went to Franklin High School.
Oh, okay.
And Portland State University, got a bachelor's and master's at Portland State.
Okay. What differences were there between the U.S. and Canada, and then maybe what differences did your parents tell you about their living situation in Poland versus here?
The differences between Canada and here weren't as severe. There were significant differences. Canada was far more international. There was a far more open atmosphere of multiple nationalities, and people lived those nationalities. Here, there was a very strong emphasis on, you're a local. You have to be a local. If you're not local, something's wrong, change. And so you did change if you wanted to live in harmony with the neighborhood, and especially as a child. That was very important. Mm-hmm. Just like with my name change, we wanted to remember where we came from, and always were happy about our nationality, even in the days when it was frowned upon to be Polish, Polak jokes, etc., etc. We were always proud of our origins, and were very happy to say we were Polish. One way I supported that was when I helped start the Polish festival here in Portland, which is now, I believe, like 15 years.
Oh, okay.
Very successful festival in the last weekend of September every year. As far as my parents, their lives changed totally. I describe a lot of that in my book, Noble Youth, where I describe what life was like for them as young people in Poland, just totally, utterly different. We wouldn't recognize it. From our standpoint, it'd be more like camping than living, shall we say, a normal life. They lived without running water and without electricity. Even though they were nobles and they were at the top of the economics and social scale, and their homes were the center of social life in the area, yet they lived a very primitive life by our standards, yet a very good life, in some ways a superior life to what we lead here in Portland today.
Well, Poland got hit particularly hard during the war from both sides, it seemed like.
It was hurt tremendously, and before the war, Poland had 40 million people. After the war, it had 20 million. Poland had, I believe it was 5 million civilians that were killed during the war. So that's all of Oregon twice over.
Yeah.
Murdered. So it was horrendous.
What were the biggest challenges that your family faced once they got here?
Some of it was humorous and very advantageous. For instance, we arrived during a snowstorm, and there was only about a foot of snow on the ground here in Portland. And I went out. I wasn't registered in the school yet, and there were a lot of kids out there playing. And I asked the kids why they weren't in school, and they said, it snowed. I said, yes, why aren't you in school? And there was only a foot of snow on the ground. Well, for me, a foot of snow in Canada was no big deal. And I just couldn't understand why these kids weren't in school just because it snowed. So that was my first introduction to Portland, where we moved to Portland partly because my father said the weather was great and it never snowed there. So it was interesting to arrive in a snowstorm. But Portland has so many advantages. There's no bugs here. In Canada, we had the black flies that were little tiny things that get through screens and draw blood every time they bit you, and they came in clouds and things like that. So the environment here is just marvelous, and I enjoy the camping and mountain climbing and all that. So it's a great place to live. Hardships, more having to do with who you were and how you were accepted. When I first arrived here, there was a tremendous amount of discrimination. Japanese people were those dirty Japs. I was discriminated against as a Pole. There were very few blacks here. They were they were isolated in their neighborhoods, and if they moved out of those neighborhoods, they were really frowned upon. So there was quite a bit of discrimination in Portland, though, because it was pretty much a white middle-class city. you didn't see as much of the discrimination, but it was certainly there.
And so is there a strong Polish community here when you got here?
There really wasn't. There was a well-established older Polish community in North Portland, and they have a library and a church that have been there over 100 years now. They celebrated their centennial. But it wasn't very large.
Were there any other instances of prejudice that you can think of when you got here?
I think just little everyday things.
Yeah.
Coming from Canada, some of my language was a little different. For instance, I remember probably in the fifth grade there was a spelling bee. And I forget what the word was, but let's just say it was XYZ. And so I'm spelling my word and I go XYZ. And the teacher says, "What's that last letter?" I said, "Z." And she says, "What letter was that?" I said, "Zed." She says, "What's that?" I said, "Zed, you know, the last letter in the alphabet." Not understanding that she didn't know what Zed was.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I'd never heard of Z before. So just little things like that.
Yeah. Now, when you were in Canada, what city did you say?
I was raised mostly in Ottawa, the capital of Canada.
Oh, okay.
Before I was born in Sherbrooke, Quebec, lived in Montreal a little bit.
So that's
but primarily in Ottawa.
Yeah.
And yes, in Quebec, it would be French.
Okay. Have you been back to Poland as an adult?
As a student, I got an internship in Poland and worked in Poland for 2 months.
Oh, okay.
And that was my first, shall we say, introduction to Poland. It was really eye-opening. I went there always feeling here as if I was a little different than my friends. When I went there, I discovered a whole country of people just like me. It was very eye-opening. And then once communism was kicked out and Poland became a free nation again in 1989, I started going back regularly, and I went back maybe 20 times since that time.
Wow.
I tried to help during the changeover from a communist to a free capitalist system.
And how do you think how's that experience been, visiting so many times? Has the changes that you've seen, have they been dramatic, or are they still slow?
Oh, the changes are extremely dramatic. In fact, one time, I believe it was in 1991 or two, I was in Poland in February and left and came back in March. And the changes were so dramatic, I felt I'd returned to a different country just in a few weeks' time. Changes were very, very dramatic. And the people there just didn't know what was going on. It was just a confused mass of daily changes, and they were inundated with these, and now it's settling out, but still a lot of changes.
Did your parents ever go back once they came over here? Or?
My parents went back for their 25th wedding anniversary, and under tremendous risk, they literally weren't sure they'd come back. In fact, the night before he left, my father came to me with an envelope and said, "If I don't come back, open this." And it was real. As nobles going back to a communist regime, not really knowing what was going on. The people there didn't know what was going on here. The people here didn't know what was going on there. And they didn't know what they'd step into. And it was plausible that they would just disappear. And I've experienced that myself, so I know how real that is.
Yeah. When Solidarity happened in Poland, were they in contact with their families over there?
Or? We've always had contact with our family. Most of our family is strewn around the world now. My immediate cousins are in about a dozen countries around the world. And so we've always maintained contact, including with the relatives in Poland. The contacts sometimes had to be somewhat clandestine. We had to be careful what was said. And I remember, for instance, during communism, when I was in Poland, I started asking an aunt some question. I don't remember what it was, probably something about how the politics was going or something. She said, "Not now, not now." We went out on a dock, a pier, probably 300 feet out into the Baltic Sea with the waves crashing around us and everything. And she said, "Now you can ask questions."
So she was afraid that they were bugged or something like that?
There was always that fear.
Yeah.
You never knew who was listening in, who could report you. Anything you said could be turned against you.
Have you noticed significant differences in the American educational system as opposed to, let's say, Canada?
Unfortunately, I report that Our system here is dreadful. I'm embarrassed by my education here. When I came to the United States, I found that I could manipulate the system and do nothing and get by just fine. And therefore, I report my education as being embarrassing. And it's a product of our education system here. That's a terrible thing to say about your own education system. And I was not pleased to have my kids go through that education system. And so I tried to augment it as much as I could. And in the end, I think they had good systems, although I will say that a lot of their education was in private schools for that reason. Now, our oldest son did attend some of the public schools, primary here, and it was pretty good. The education as far as knowledge was pretty good. The social education was horrible, totally lacking. And the upbringing of a child, how they're raised, who they are, what their relationships with other people are so critical, and that was totally lacking in the public school system. Very disappointing.
You think that's a function of the public schools, or is it a function of just the kids that are coming into the public schools?
In most cases, it's not the teachers. I think there are many well-meaning teachers and many excellent teachers, and I've met wonderful teachers. It's the system and our society. There isn't the emphasis on why children are educated other than to become basketball stars or having sports or having a good time at school. Well, having a good time at school has nothing to do with learning facts that you're going to use later in your life and being a person who will contribute to society later in life. I was raised very much as the purpose of growing up was to become a contributing member of society. I don't think our education system focuses on that factor very much. And things like personal honor. What honor do you have? How do you honor other people? Do you insist that other people honor you? Those are things that are lost in our society. And especially having four sisters, perhaps I'm sensitive to how girls are raised, and I have two daughters of my own, and I really see that factor of honor lacking, and I think a lot of our society loses because of that.
And was there a difference in Canada, or?
Again, I was raised in a much more intercultural environment where the cultures were celebrated, not subdued. Here, we're all free as long as we're Americans. If you're not an American, you better get with the program. In Canada, there was a celebration of the international character of people.
What are the most important lessons that you've learned while adapting and integrating into the U.S.?
The United States is a marvelous country. We've achieved so much. Our lives are so rich and wonderful. One of my favorite sayings is that the average American is richer and lives a better life than any king in medieval times ever did. And people say, well, they had all these servants and things. Well, yes, they had to take care of all those servants. They didn't have electricity and running water, and so they needed people to wash clothes. But they were cold all the time because castles were cold and drafty. If they had a toothache, someone had to get a hammer and a stick to knock it out. So part of that is technological, but it's social too. We did a survey of immigrants, in this case of women that immigrated to Portland, and we found that they were really hurting in the social element. In most countries, the women in particular were all together all the time. They were meeting, they were getting together, they were doing this and that and everything. No woman ever thought twice to go to a neighbor's house or to have lunch with her coworker or whatever. There was a constant interaction, again, particularly among the women. Here you have to make an appointment 2 weeks in advance in order to get together for coffee. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
But for women that had that very close bonding through their lives, and to lose it has been very difficult for many immigrants.
Yeah. Well, are there any stories you'd like to share from your books about your parents? Or
oh, there's so many. Read the book.
Anything that jumps out?
My books I wrote with my mother for my grandchildren, and so I wrote them to be a fun read, and so they're just lots of fun stories. And but there really are so many, it's hard to identify one.
Okay.
That's A Noble Youth, where it talks about everyday life, and it's kind of like a cross between Little House on the Prairie and Sound of Music. Whereas the second book, Noble Flight, is about, it's a war story. It's far more dramatic, and what happens during the war to an average person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little different from most World War II stories, because most of them are from the political or military standpoint, or from the Jewish standpoint. I'm not a Jew, so our experience is different.
Was your family involved in any of the fighting during World War II, or?
Well, both were certainly in the environment. My father spent 2 years in a Russian POW camp, even though he wasn't a soldier, and then escaped through Southern Asia, went back to, got himself to England, joined Anders' army in England, was in the Normandy invasion, was injured there, survived, taken back to England, where he met my mother. My mother had evolved through Europe and was a nurse in England, again helping the soldiers after the various battles. And prior to that, she was in the underground and quite a few experiences, some of which are detailed in Noble Flight. But they both ended up in London, met there for the first time. They knew each other's families, which was very interesting. They had never met themselves, but they knew each other's families very well and the culture of those families and everything. After 4 days, my father proposed to my mother. She had three or four proposals that day as a nurse in a hospital of soldiers. But she agreed to marry my father. They had my three sisters in London. Then they emigrated to Canada, where I was born and my younger sister were born.
I appreciate you coming in and talking with us.
Well, I appreciate this opportunity to come to the library. I know this library from when it was a very small little local library, uh-huh. So it's nice to be here and see all the progress in the library today.
I'm sure it's changed a lot.
Yes, thank you.